This is Tanya Lynn with the Sistership Circle podcast. From spirituality, sexuality, and sisterhood to business, relationships, contribution, and creativity, the Sistership Circle podcast introduces a new model of feminine leadership where women get real and vulnerable about it all. Tune in for authentic advice that will empower you to be bold, beautiful, and brilliant as your true self. Welcome to the Sistership Circle podcast. I'm Tanya Lynn, and today I am interviewing a very special guest, Sarah Drew. So let me tell you a little bit about Sarah. Sarah Drew is the author of Gaia Codex, she's a passionate explorer of culture, consciousness, and the deep roots of our feminine wisdom. Both an ancient found wisdom text and a sumptuous epic novel, Gaia Codex reveals the hidden histories of a world long forgotten, the secret wisdom of an ancient lineage of women, the priestesses of Astera. Set in a near future of impending societal and environmental collapse, the novel is a tale of hope and remembrance, as well as an inspired vision of humanity's origins and of the potential we hold for conscious evolution. With growing numbers of international readers, Gaia Codex is a flourishing phenomenon that is capturing the passionate spirit of the feminine rising and our deepening reconnection to Mother Earth. Sarah studied religious studies at UC Berkeley and has traveled extensively around the world from the high peaks of Bhutan to the jungles of the Amazon. She has been blessed to study under the tutelage of Bhutanese Lama teachers and wise embodiments of the goddess. An experienced lecturer who has taught at the graduate level and at organizations such as Google, Sarah is committed to the awakening of the sacred feminine, the evolution of consciousness, and the protection and revitalization of Mother Earth at this critical turning point in history. Sarah's professional background is as a cultural curator and creator of innovative media. She is deeply honored to work with extraordinary women globally as a teacher, sister, and as a co-catalyst for the emergent feminine revolution. Sarah lives with her partner in Manhattan and on a lush forested farm in the Hudson Valley. And you can learn about the Gaia Codex at GaiaCodex.com. You can find that link in our show notes for today's podcast. Oh my goodness, we have so many amazing little places where we get to explore in this conversation. Just reading that bio thoroughly, I'm just like, oh my God, million questions coming up already. So welcome, Sarah. I'm so excited for us to co-create some magic today.
Wonderful to be here, Tanya, and just really feeling this moment in time that we're here as women, and just appreciating to be here right now with you and everybody that's tuning in from around the world.
Yes, it is. It is such a powerful time that we're at right now, and today, you know, we're really talking about this new feminine revolution. And that we're both part of. You know, you said that you are co-creating it and you are a partner in it with so many other women around the world. And I really truly believe that we are doing that. And we each have our individual piece that we're contributing to this feminine revolution. And just reading about the Gaia Codex, I'm just blown away at what you have created. And I'd love for us to start there this is like your contribution to the world. So I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about how you came to write this book, and just a little bit about it.
Such a great question. Hmm. You know, it was the book, the offering that I had to do. The story, for those of you who are not familiar, it's about an ancient lineage of women called the priestesses of Astera, who through the generations, through many lifetimes, have been holding regeneration codes for the planet. And these women, you know, they would incarnate in different cultures and different times, in different ethnicities, but what they carried and the stream that they were carried through all these different incarnations was as the holders of the code for both the divine feminine wisdom And as the holders of the code for the protection and the regeneration of Mother Gaia, in particular, humanity's relationship to Mother Gaia, as holders of that. It's written as a fiction, though, I was giving a talk at Google and I finished up and one of the women raised her hands and she goes, "Why did you write this as a fiction? You know, you could have written it as a nonfiction, right?" And I laughed and I go, "Well, you know, I think by having the fiction, you know, this story of our reclaiming the feminine, it allows our imaginations to stretch into what is possible. And people can take it as however they feel resonant, you know, is truth or not truth or..."
So are the priestesses of Astara real, or is that something that you created?
Such a great question. For me, my understanding is that it is an ancient lineage line, but it came through as just that these were the name. Astara means star, so it's priestesses of the star. It has roots into like Tara, the goddess Tara, which also means star. And for all purposes, it's a fiction, but it, you know, the particular transmissions that, you know, are with it, I believe, you know, the star is representative of the soul being ignited. You know, that part of our individual soul, that when it sparks and it awakens, it can join with the billions of other stars. And, you know, you can be both an individual soul, but you can be part of a cosmic force and a cosmic, if you will, alliance with many other billions of people around the planet whose stars are awakening.
Hmm. I mean, you know, priestess right now is such, it's a word that's just really come alive, and it feels like there's this awakening of women really identifying with that word. So, it's just really fascinating that, there's like these transmissions coming through of this information. That's literally just coming through us right now. And you are one of those women who are delivering the transmission. So, you know, one of the things that you talked about in the bio is ancient wisdom, you know, like ancient wisdom treasures coming through. So how do we access this? How do we access the ancient wisdom treasures? And how do we access these transmissions that are coming through?
I think more and more women are becoming vessels for the ancient knowledge to come through. And it's part of the gift of like the work that you're doing, where we're being activated in circle. We're being activated through remembrance of our relationship to the Mother Earth. We're being remembering through ritual, and ritual can be very simple. It can just be that placing of the flower, that bestowing of reverence, you know, onto another, onto oneself. You know, all these methods are opening us up as channels to have access to what women for many generations were directly accessing. I'd actually like to maybe read a small passage of that from the Gaia Codex that I think...
Yes, please.
Some of my understanding of that. There are priestesses of Astara whose bodies and minds have been dedicated as temples of memory. Into these women's bones, flesh, and organs, into their very selves, are poured historical events and knowledge for safekeeping. In these women, these memory keepers, are stored jewels of revelation, boons for healing and creation. Some say the true gift of these women is their ability to seamlessly connect with all life itself, to read the ancient records in the tiniest grain of sand, in the veins of a leaf, in a constellation of stars, or in the softness of a kiss upon the lips. These memory keepers are both empty and full as they carry the wisdom through the ages. Gaia Codex Node 444-54281. So it goes with the idea of us already being holders of this wisdom. And there comes a point where we are activated, and you know that can be activated through ceremony, through circle, through a deep initiation that we go, perhaps alone, perhaps with others. Can be activated through drawing, painting, dancing, writing, through letting the muse flow through us. When I was writing, I never get writer's block. And I often coach women with writing. And a lot of women that I'm working with right now are holding these really extraordinary codes. And a lot of what we work with is just that it's already there as a hologram. And it's not something that we have to try to create. It's a level of surrender. And the mother herself will pour through us. And in a way, we become her eyes, her voice, her hands, her wisdom in walking form. And I think there's many of us right now that she is asking to speak through. And it's one of the exciting parts of this time. And I love what you're doing and how many women are activating through the sistership circles. And, you know, that very direct way to be able to activate that, and you know, that ancient knowledge and the technology of the circle.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that I actually have no formal training in much of anything that I do. And really, I mean, it's just a testament to everything that you're saying right now, that it's literally just come through me, and it comes in as a remembrance. And it's like, I've been doing this for lifetimes, yeah. You know, so it's not, and so can I just get out of the way? Can I just get out of the way so it could come through me and not overthink it? Mm. And the more space that I create, the more that then, you know, I can be that vessel. So it's just like, how can I keep emptying myself out to be the vessel? So, I mean, I would love to hear from you. Is it kind of the same thing for you? I mean, you're coaching women how to, write and how to be that channel, and what would be something that you say to them in that regard?
I mean, I would say that the coaching is that fine attunement to bring through, as you stated, like when we started talking, that very specific, unique piece that we each have to add as an offering, you know, as a sacred offering to the awakening that's happening on the planet right now. And that is, like you said, that emptiness, you know, going, the first words and the first chapter in the Gaia Codex speaks to that in some ways. It's, we incarnate through 10,000 lives, but few are those who remember that in the beginning and in the end, we are everything and we are nothing. And specifically that line, we are everything and we are nothing. We are the infinitude of creation in all its forms, both those known and unknown. And we are the emptiness. We're the Prajnaparamita, as it's called in the Tibetan tradition, of just pure, the empty womb. And that emptiness and that receptivity of like being the sacred womb, the sacred vessel to receive the transmissions from the goddess, For me, the journey, you know, to write Gaia Codex was one, and I sense you can maybe identify that, of so many surrenders, so many letting go, so many just saying, you know, Mother, how can I best serve you? Mother, how can I be your vessel? And I, even with the book, I could feel it, I could see it, I could, I felt it so clearly, but I had to, before I could really start writing, I needed to go, Mother, I'm here to do this, but is this what you want me to do? And be able in my heart, and this is this kind of paradox, to give it up if it wasn't, and be okay. And it took me, you know, some meetings, many meetings with Kali, you know, who strips us to do that. But then she embraces us in the depth and beauty of her heart, right? You know, and she's pure love.
You know, I think we're both lovers of the goddess, and you actually were in religious studies, so you have this formal background. Did you study goddesses when you were in school? Because I'm actually really curious about the academic side of learning about the goddesses.
Well, you know, Tanya, my coming to, I was reading your bio too before we jumped on, and you know, my coming to doing religious studies is I was traveling 3 years in Asia and South America, and this was like when I was 19, 20, and you know, going to these sacred spots and having very deep remembrances of my own lineage in Japan, in Tibet, you know, sitting in Varanasi, and having some deep mystical experiences that were breaking me open. And I came back to the United States, and I felt that I needed some sort of languaging, something to try to give context or meaning to these very deep, you know, I was from Southern California, from San Diego, right? So this very deep experience. And so I studied religious studies and had some really wonderful teachers who kind of allowed me to, through poetry, through what others had studied before, give some face and form, you know, to, but it was, for me it was, and I think, you know, there's so much in the air now, and I think so many young women are already coming knowing about transcultural studies, you know. My chronological age is 51. Sometimes think I'm 52, so it was a different place at that time, you know, pre cell phones, right?
Yeah, right. Before we really had computers. Okay, so you know, one of the things that has been really coming alive for me is this. You know, so many of us are doing this work, and it's almost like we're preaching to the choir in terms of women who are already awake. And not to say that people in corporate are not awake, but Google, I mean, out of all places, you brought the Gaia Codex to Google. So I'm really curious about this because, you know, Sheryl Sandberg is doing her work and with Lean In in corporate, and I just feel like there's this there's a group of people in the world right now who have influence, who have impact, who are in the corporate world and who are very much in this in the patriarchy and very much asleep to the feminine. So I'm curious as to what did you do at Google? With that question,
I was invited to do one of they have what they call Google Talks, which are broadcast, and you know, you have everyone from, I'm trying to think what kind of internationally known celebrity to authors on topics that they feel would be interesting. I mean, my background is in creating content for technology and media. I had a company in the 90s that was doing early forms of virtual reality gaming. And so I do have some strands in that area. And a lot of my professional work, not so much the last couple of years, because the book has become the work. But before, it was like technology and consciousness, that edge, and, you know, how technology is shaping consciousness, and, you know, how it can be used as a training tool. But not the end all of what perhaps we already know. You know, in the Gaia Codex specifically, I didn't have any present day technology, because I really felt that these were these ancient technologies that women have known, and really to give that the forefront. I was asked by Christine Ariel to do a co-teach with her and a small group of women, where they were asked to read Gaia Codex and Sheryl Sandberg. They were all like executives from tech companies, from Google, from Facebook. And we had a really, it was like a whole evening that we did. So we did, it was a really interesting evening to see, to address these women specifically, who, you know, are deep in there. And many of them feel, of course, as you might imagine, that they need to play a particular role to do what they need to do, but they also, you know, have a knowing, you know, it's not unknown. I think our job, all of us right now, like you said, of preaching to the choir, I think it's really my understanding, and I've been talking about this, as you probably have, with many women, that we're at this point where, you know, it has been, we've been building the energy, you know, with women, where it's like there's an understanding of like, I know this, right? You know, so many of our readers say, this is what I've always known, but there just hasn't been the words. And then they'll bring like their piece of knowledge in. You know, I've been really saying that Gaia Codex is open source code, and we're all bringing a part in. But I feel like we're going through this jump right now. And I know this is really where our work is, with the work that I'm doing and many other sisters right now, is that the circles are going out more and rippling out to a much wider audience, like right now as we speak, I think. And I think that's only going to get more intense. So what has been a closed group of just building that energy with those who are in resonance, it's going to be going out wider, you know. Do you have that as well?
Oh, absolutely. And to me, it's like, well, how do we, those of us who are in this, how do we take it to mainstream? I mean, it's almost like this, the rise of the feminine needs to go into the mainstream, not just these little tributary rivers. And, you know, and how do we do that? How do we take this message and bring it mainstream, you know? And so I think it's the work of going into corporations and, that's all I gotta say about that. We need to all collectively, how can we share this message so that it's no longer, alternative, but it's mainstream.
I think in many ways it's becoming, I was having a dinner with Hamilton Fish. He was the editor of The Nation for many years, and he was at our house in the city. This was maybe 6 months ago. And I was meeting him for the first time and sharing the Gaia Codex with him. And he goes, wow. He goes, you're right. And this is a man who's, you know, pretty, I don't want to say jaded, but, you know, just out of Washington in New York, you know, that scene. He goes, this is what's happening. But he's also he goes, this is the wave that is happening, which is the feminine. He goes, and it's unstoppable, you know, in my opinion. And I think, you know, a lot of, I've been in New York for a year, a little over a year with my partner here. And so I'm, a lot of the circles that, you know, we're in right here are people that you would think of a mainstream, but the women especially are very, very, very receptive. You know, whether it's someone who's working for the New York Times or a curator at the Whitney, the women get it and the men often too. So I think it's very ripe, especially in progressive circles, you know.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's really telling of where we're going. And, you know, and what I'm present to right now is so many women leaders who are wanting to put their voice out there and thinking that, oh, I'm too woo-woo. And they shut themselves down and they don't speak up. I think this is just a message that I want to say right now of, it's time, the time is ripe. It's time for us to all collectively put our voice out there. And it's not too woo-woo. You know, it's just, it's not.
I think that's a, I mean, I've chosen, as we started in earlier in the conversation, I've chosen fiction, you know, to work through. Work it is, you know, just really working with the story. I think we can go out there, especially in mass, you know, and especially through different forms. And, you know, again, art, businesses that have feminine values, dance, politics, you know, just all these different aspects. In the Gaia Codex, there's a section where we talk about the 64 arts, you know, the different arts that women would learn over lifetimes. And, you know, it would be architecture, it would be music, it would be, you know, metaphysics. And so anyway, all these different forms, just coming with a view of the world that is life-sustaining and generative and doesn't involve killing others and killing the planet. You know, and each of us will have our unique form. And I think it's so important, those unique voices. You know, it's like the facets of a diamond. You know, we're one and we each have this perspective coming in that is unique. And that uniqueness is so important.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, one of the things that I'm so passionate about is sisterhood and what I call co-creative leadership, which I said before, you know, with we each are a spoke on the wheel of co-creative leadership. We each have our gift, our contribution to make the wheel spin. And, you know, this is why there's really no more competition, because we each have our unique offering and no two people have the same offering. And can we actually start celebrating and getting that we need each other's offerings? Like we can't be the end all be all for everything. It's like, can we just really tap into what our one thing is? And this is what I believe is the worldwide sisterhood. You know, I mean, people are, you know, as the word sisterhood comes more and more, to the forefront of all of our consciousness. There's this idea that, you know, not every woman is my sister, like only my closest friends are my sisters and my soul sisters. But I truly believe that we are all sisters and we are all daughters of Mother Earth, you know? So it's like, there is no separation. There's no, well, she's my sister, but she's not, because perhaps she triggers me and, you know, and I like her, you know, and that whole, that's just all part of the same paradigm. You know, and awakening our ancient sisterhood is a big thing for you as well. And so I'd love for you to just share what sisterhood means to you and, you know, and what you've learned about the sisterhood and how that fits in with this new feminine revolution. that we're all co-creating.
Say the biggest boon or gift has been love. It's just such deep love and remembrance. Over and over again, to be able to look into the face of another beloved and see that memory through time, see the love, and sometimes see the pain or the hurt. And, you know, I've been with sisters where we've been able to hold each other and cry about where, you know, there's, it could appear as stuck energy or some friction that's coming up. And then we dig deeper and, you know, maybe it can come as something that where we had created mistrust with each other, perhaps in a past life, or perhaps, you know, we're able to hold it together though. And I think that's the difference. And we're able to transmute it together. And the love I've found over and over again is so strong that it will heal whatever needs to be healed. And as we're doing that, it's just not us individually. It's just not two people. But that healing balm is going out and resonating through the world to men and to women through the sisterhood. And it's like as we heal these small things, these large things that can come up, you know, the sisters, sometimes the ones that where it's the most uncomfortable is where, you know, is growth and learning for our soul, right? It's part of our shadow coming up, given to us as a gift and someone who's right there with us, right? So if you can lean into it and at least be able to maybe hold it with a balance or equanimity and see if it charges you or not, and just maybe over time start to bring love to it. And it's a gift when we're able to really transmute that together, because then it can go quickly, right? Then it can be healed quickly. I lost my own birth sister when she was 30 and I was 33. So I think I have a real, it was life-changing. I was the girl who was with all men in a room, usually, you know, both with what I was doing with professionally and that changed. I just had such a deep longing to know my sisters, and since I lost my sister in this life, to really do that. And that was a driving force. That was a driving force for this book, was to do that. And I've been very fortunate to have amazing sisters and through the years, through the decades. Beloveds.
Yeah, what I'm present to right now is the loss of a dear sister in my life right now. And she's still alive. It's just, you know, there was the conflict. And there's an upset that she's not willing to lean in with me, lean into the love. And I think this is something that I think comes up for a lot of people of when do you set a boundary? You know, in her case, she set a boundary. And when do you lean in? You know, and when the other person is willing to lean in, you know, like what. And I think this is one of the biggest things that comes up in our relationship with one another, is that piece that you're saying, like when we are present to that love, and so then that love heals. And it's just so fascinating to me that, this is up for me, like almost every day. Like it's like I want to force it. Because yet I can't, you know, like there's nothing I can do. And I'm like, okay, what's the lesson in this for me around just like letting it go? And a lot comes up for me, like a lot of anger, a lot of frustration, so much grief and sadness. And You know, because there's that willingness on my end, and I'm like, and so then what comes up is that, like, you know, well, I'm wrong, or I'm bad, or, you know, I'm being rejected, you know, all that. And I just think it's just really fascinating, because I feel like I'm in that, and that so many women around the world are also experiencing that. And like, what would it look like if we all healed that, you know, like, what really to lean in? I don't know. So,
well, I love that you're
love to hear your reflection.
Yeah, you're in this position to really heal this collectively, right? Through your personal experience, you know, and of course it'll come up. You know,
When you're committed to something, all the shadow is going to come up around it. Absolutely.
And, but I think what you're, I mean, I've found certainly that, you know, to be able to give it space as well is good, and to really offer it up to the mother and ask, you know, what is the highest outcome, and what can I do to both be aware of my own shadow in this, you know, and my own peace to really help transmute, and what can be healed between this and this sister who I love so much, but really putting aside our will, or, I mean, I'm an Aries, so I understand, right, that desire to let's just move through it, right, you know, but to really just give it its space. And sometimes, I mean, my teacher, Lama Pema Tenzin from Bhutan, he mentioned, you know, he goes, sometimes our karma with people are done. And he goes, it's not good or it's not bad. Sometimes it's just done. And like when that happens, we don't have to try to reclaim it or try to have it be to what it once was. We can just let it go. And if there's something within that relationship which we didn't learn, then probably most certainly it'll come up again through somebody else, right? And we'll have that opportunity to transmute it, to alchemically transmute it.
It's really powerful. I mean, it's, yeah, our karma may be done, and that's not good or bad. And so a lot of times we try to hold on to something because we're making meaning out of it that it is bad, or that there's something wrong. In my case, making something wrong that, well, we had this relationship, like how can we not have that anymore? You know, but the karma may be done or it may not. It's a constant letting go process. Okay, last thing I want to talk about.
I just wanted to add something to that.
Sure.
I think the sweetness, though, of sisterhood is incredible. And I think also so many of us are really experiencing that at this time, where there's this excitement of like, wow, you know, like here we are again, and we're here, and we're going to do this amazing thing together. And the love and the intimacy, you know, the intimacy of being willing to bare our soul with another or with a circle, right? Yeah. Have it held with nobility, with grace, with clarity, and with honor, and with truth in its rawness.
Yeah, and you saying that, it's the greatest gift that I've gotten by having the sister not my life is such a deep, profound appreciation and gratitude for all the women who are in my life and who are showing up and leaning in with me. And so, yeah, thank you for sharing that, because it's so true. You know, I just, and that's what helps me let go when I have the trigger come up. You know, as I start thinking about it, I start getting upset or sad or frustrated. I shift it to the gratitude. of the sweetness that I do have with sisters. So
I just, you know, just really say a prayer for both of you and for all of us who have ever experienced any of that we're able to hold it with grace, we're able to hold it with love, and we're able to hold it with empathy, compassion, understanding, and that we're able to understand the connective threads, the oneness that we hold, even though it may look like we're at polar opposites. You know, there's as you know, there's goddesses to work with that are really helpful in those situations too. Maybe the most simple one is Tara, right? Tara is so wonderful. She can heal these sort of things really beautifully, and she's very strong.
Let's talk about Tara just for a moment, because there's the white Tara, there's the green Tara, and you spent a lot of time in Bhutan and studied, you know, so I'd love to hear a little bit from you about Tara, and we can end on that note.
Maybe, and probably many of the people who are listening know the Tara mantra, but just say the Tara mantra. And you know, as we're saying it, you can bring forth either the green Tara, who is there. She's known as the earth Tara. She's the Tara when you're going out into the world and you want to have strength in your work and your actions. You want your speech, thought, and actions to be filled with compassion and clarity. Green Tara is great. She helps dissolve obstacles. White Tara, there's actually 21 Taras of all different colors and hues with all different subtleties, you know, of what they can bring with us. I mean, one can do a whole practice of Taras for many lifetimes. White Tara is more, is kind of understood as the star Tara. Tara means star, and is just the white luminosity of pure compassion and just pure light filling every cell of our body. So we're going to do the Tara mantra and also start it with from what in my tradition is with the lineage of the priestesses of the stars, is a sounding which helps us ground in, and then we'll go straight into the mantra. Tutare ture soha om tare tutare ture soha om tare tutare ture soha om tare tu tare tu re soha. O Goddess Mother, protect us, be with us. May we be your embodiment as we walk through the world. May we be your voice, your eyes, your ears, your heart. May we feel you as our feet touches the Mother Earth. We are one with you. May we be one with you. And may our time here together bless many beings, many, many beings over time. Aho.
Aho. Thank you for that. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful song and blessing and prayer. Oh. So as we wrap up, I would love for you to share. You have a gratitude gift for all of our sisters listening right now. And we'll have a link to that in the show notes. So if you can just share a little bit about, you have an illustrated excerpt from the book for everyone. Can you share a little bit?
Just thank you to all of you who are listening, and just really the blessing of us being together as women, coming together as women at this time, and look forward to hearing what many of you are doing, and what you're creating, what we're creating together as the days and months come. The gratitude gift is just we had two ebooks, one which is not available anymore, which is the illuminated ebook. So I think it's like 25, 30 pages from that. And so you can get a start on the Gaia Codex. And there's a link, it's downloadable. And look forward to sharing that with you.
Great, thank you so much. And thank you everyone for tuning into our podcast today. We will be interviewing other amazing women leaders. I'm just so grateful, Sarah, that you have joined our collective here and offered your contribution and your voice. So thank you. And everyone, we'll see you next time. Please tune into any of the other shows that we have coming up.